Privilege of being with you today. You can find the study on abideinchrist.com, abideinchrist.com, abideinchrist.com. Go to Sermons and Bible Studies and click on Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 17, The Power of God. Evangelical Christianity has its major theme, salvation by grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. It rings with a heartbeat that God commends His love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It proclaims a message that Christ bore our sins in His own body on the tree, and it sings a song of praise. Unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. The heart and soul of biblical Christianity is the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. Therefore, we proclaim with all of the soul the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Indeed, there is no other gospel. There's no other song. There's no other message of salvation. There's no other name given among men whereby man must be saved. How may we be sure that it is the power of God to salvation? It's simply by submitting ourselves continually to its cleansing and renewing influence in our lives. It is God's kind of life as we enjoy the deep communion with the living God. The Lord Jesus Christ is with us, our friend, our Savior, our sanctifier, our Lord and Master. And from the depths of our conscience we can witness, He loved me and gave Himself for me. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. He gives power that nothing else or anyone else can ever bestow. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, without any distinction of sex or age or condition of birth, country or residence. Without exception, anyone who believes on Christ will be saved. What a mighty gospel we preach. It is universal in its scope, though its saving power is limited only to those who believe on Jesus Christ. The preaching of the gospel is the theme of the book of Romans. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news centered in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Paul said that he was eager to preach the gospel. When you're in love, you can't keep it to yourself. You want to tell others about the love of your life. And when God comes into your life through the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, you can't keep it to yourself. You want to tell everyone about it. I am debtor to the world, Paul said in verse 14. I am under obligation to the lost world. Literally, Paul says, I am a debtor. We have a debt to pay. We're constrained by the love of God. We want to serve Christ because of what He has done for us. We can never pay back a debt of grace. We serve out of the goodness that God has placed in our hearts. And because of His work of grace in our hearts, we want to take the gospel out of the realm of self-edification and share it with the world. Robert Haldane reminds us, the gospel, which is the word of God, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And by it, as the word of truth, men are begotten by the will of God. And through the faith of the gospel, they are kept by His power unto salvation. The exceeding greatness of the power of God exerted in the gospel toward those who believe is compared to His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And thus with the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. To those who are saved, it is the power of God. The joy of preaching is the joy of sharing from the overflow of your study of God's Word and your encounter with the living Christ. The preaching of the gospel is like that an inexhaustible experience of deep-sea pearl divers who dive into the ocean and come up with hands full of big, beautiful pearls. Every time they come up, they know there are many more where they came from. And so it is with the Word of God. Each time you go down, we come up with an inexhaustible supply of radiant gems from the Word of God. I firmly believe that when a person is truly saved, God puts in his hearts a hunger for the deep things of God, and you can find it only in the study of his Word. Christianity is Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 5 defines the gospel of Christ as the proclamation of his death, burial, and resurrection. Everything God does is based upon the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus Christ died for our sins. Who is Jesus? He's the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the eternal bright morning star. He is our substitute who died in our place on the cross. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 and 8 says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." How can God justify the person who believes on Christ? Romans chapter 3, verse 24 tells us that by being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul uses the figure of a prisoner who has been taken captive, and the ransom price has been paid before he can be set free. Because of the fall of Adam, we're all spiritually bankrupt. We had no means of ransoming ourselves. It was just then that Jesus Christ stepped in, stood sponsor for us, and in place of all believers paid the ransom price, that from that hour we might be delivered from the curse of the law and the vengeance of the wrath of God and go free. Jesus paid our ransom price in full. He paid it all at once. No debt remains. And when Christ redeemed his people, he did it thoroughly. He left nothing lacking. Not a single debt was left unpaid. Not one penny would be left to be settled later. C.H. Spurgeon said it best. God demanded of Christ the payment of sins for all of his people. Christ stood forward and to the utmost penny paid whatever his people owed. The sacrifice of Calvary was not a part payment. It was not a partial exoneration. It was a complete and perfect payment, and a complete and perfect remittal of all the debts of all believers that have lived, do live, or shall live to the very end of time. On that day when Christ hung on the cross, he did not leave a single penny for us to pay as a satisfaction to God. He did not leave from a thread that he had not satisfied. The whole of the demands of the law were paid down there, and then by Jehovah Jesus, the great high priest of all his people, and blessed be his name, he paid it all at once too. Christ did not take out installments at the awesome debt. He paid in full. Once and for all, Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice. He counted down the price of our redemption and paid it in full and said, "It is finished." Christ suffered all that we ought to have suffered as a payment for our sin and died. Because it is paid in full, all who believe on him are set free. The work of ransom was completely paid by Jesus Christ on the cross. because Jesus Christ paid the ransom in full, he left nothing for himself to do or for us to complete. He did not put us on an installment plan to earn our salvation. He did not have to come again and die over and over again like the lambs of Israel's sacrifices. The ransom of all his people was paid in full, and the receipt was given to them, and Christ nailed that receipt to his cross and said, "It is done, it is done, it is paid in full." They are nailed to the cross. God has satisfied that payment and proved it by raising his Son Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus was satisfied with the payment and ascended into heaven. You and I are satisfied with the payment when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection to make us right with God. Can you imagine for a moment what it must have been like when the mighty conqueror entered into the gates of heaven at his ascension? I can see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and all the redeemed saints come to behold the Savior and Lord. They were redeemed on credit, waiting for that day when their payment would be paid in full. And by faith they proclaimed the message of eternal hope in the coming of the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. What a sight that must have been. No Roman general ever had such a great triumph. No one ever saw such a majestic sight as when Christ returned to heaven. Imagine the pageantry of a whole universe, the sovereigns of the entire creation gathered together, heavenly creatures such as the cherubim and seraphim, all heavenly powers of creation, and God, the everlasting one, pressed his Son to his bosom and said, "Well done. Well done. You have finished the work I have given you to do." No wonder the Apostle Paul shouted, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in his triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved, on those who are perishing, and to the one an aroma of death to death, and to others an aroma of life to life." And who is adequate for these things? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Praise God for the opportunity to preach the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ. The power of the gospel is also revealed to us in this passage of Scripture. The gospel is the power of God and the hand of God, said Robert Haldane. It is power which God employs to accomplish a certain end. The good news of Jesus Christ is a power of God unto salvation in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 and 25. Some people think it is nonsense and foolishness, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. And everyone is dead spiritually and mentally and personally until he awakens the spirit and bring man to believe on Christ and receive this new life. Salvation is a comprehensive term. In this passage, the words life, especially eternal life and salvation, has the same meaning. The sinner who is justified by faith will live. He alone is righteous in God's sight. Eternal life begins with justification and continues throughout all eternity. Salvation includes sanctification and reaches to its consummation in the final glory when we stand before God in Jesus Christ. It is the power to change people's lives. We were dead in trespasses and sins. The wages of sin is death. Sin and depravity paints this ugly picture in the Bible and is real life. Read for yourself The first three chapters Paul writes in Romans. Sinners need the Savior who can deliver us from our sins. We do not want to be reincarnated into a future life of sin and depravity. I want the power of God to change my life right now and be found with this new life in Christ from now and eternity. The gospel of Jesus Christ reveals God's way of righteousness. It's not a way determined by man or by an external consideration, but by God. It is what is right, conformed to right, pertaining to right as God determines it to be right. God is the standard. Paul uses the concept of righteousness in the Old Testament, and it's a key word in Romans. The Hebrew idea of right and wrong was put in forensic terms. In the Hebrew mind, the right and wrong is settled before a judge. It's not in the sense of moral excellence as much as a legal standing before God. The Hebrew word righteous means simply in the right. The word wicked means in the wrong. And therefore, for the Jewish, Yahweh, Jehovah, is always in the right because he is not only sovereign, but self-consistent. He can never contradict himself. He is the source of righteousness. And God is the golden standard of integrity. It is his norm that man must live up to. And God is always righteous. We are righteous only when we are in a right relationship with God. How does a person stand right in the sight of a holy God? God vindicates his own righteousness when he declares the believing sinner righteous based on the atoning work of Jesus Christ. God has revealed his personal righteousness in the law and in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. It is a declared righteousness. God declares the believing sinner to be in a right relationship with himself. And God acquits the believing sinner based on the substitutionary atoning death of Jesus Christ for the sinner. It is good to remind ourselves the distinction Paul places on justification, sanctification, and glorification in his understanding of salvation. Failure to do so leads to a confusion in the Christian life. By justification by faith, Paul means the initial act of God's saving grace when we put our faith in Christ as our Savior. God puts the person who believes in a right relationship with himself, and salvation follows and continuously works in our lives. Glorification is that final day when we stand complete in Christ before God the Father. Justification by faith is the simple response of believing heart to the Word of God in Jesus Christ. Salvation depends not on sacraments, not on what is done by a priest or any individual, but on what Christ has done for the believing sinner. This teaching in God's Word sets every individual face to face before a holy God and forces us to deal with our sin and depravity God's way. There's the omnipotent power of God in the gospel. The Apostle Paul teaches us the gospel is the inherent omnipotent power of God operating in the salvation of the sinner who believes on Christ. The gospel is God's power, resulting in salvation to the one who believes on the saving work of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the power of God, and this power of God is demonstrated in what it does. It is divine energy in itself. It is the work of God in the sinner. The good news of salvation is energized by the Holy Spirit. The gospel is the message which the Holy Spirit in sovereign grace makes operative in the heart of the believing sinner who is elected to salvation before the foundation of the world. Take a few moments and look back over your life. Draw a mental picture and a timeline from the day you were born up until today. Can you pick a time when God came into your life and changed you? Was there a time when He put a hunger in your heart for more of Him? Was there a time when the Holy Spirit put a hunger and a thirst in your heart for God's righteousness? Was there a time when you became acutely aware that one day you would have to stand before a holy and righteous God who will not tolerate sin in His presence? Did it make you so unbearably uncomfortable that a godly fear grasped your soul? Is there a time and place when you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Holy Spirit brought you to a sense of spiritual life and birth? Have you been born spiritually? Have you been born a second time? What was your life like before you put your faith and trust in Him? What changes have taken place in your life since that day? Is there a difference between your life before you believed on Christ and since then? Has the Holy Spirit put a hunger in your heart to become more like Jesus Christ? What was your life like before Christ came into your life? What changes has He brought about in your personal life? Humanism doesn't have the power to change a depraved life. Philosophy and the New Age movements, or humanism, socialism, cannot change a depraved heart. Only God can raise the dead. The gospel is not advice to good people. It's not a message to sinners suggesting that they lift themselves out of their sins by their bootstraps. It is power that lifts them up out of the condemnation and guilt of sin by giving them spiritual life. Paul does not say that the gospel brings power, but that it is God's power to save sinners. It is the power of God at work in the believing sinner, energizing, giving God's life to that person. And when the gospel enters the sinner's life, it is as though the very fire of God has come upon him and he gives eternal life. The result of the power of God in a sinner's life is salvation. It is altogether God's work, not something man does. The Apostle Paul makes it absolutely clear. The message of the gospel is the power of God into salvation. Faith comes by hearing. God saves a sinner through the message of the gospel. God's power is operative unto salvation through the gospel alone. It is the gospel that is God's power unto salvation. The writer of Hebrews tells us the word of God is living and powerful. Use the word of God in the presentation of the gospel because it is the omnipotence of God working unto salvation. The plan of God is clear in Romans chapter 1 verses 16 and 17. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." Salvation is for everyone who believes. The gospel is universal. But it is not universalism. It is available to everyone who will call upon the name and believe on Jesus Christ for salvation. However, it does not teach that everyone will be saved regardless of what he believes. All religious roads do not lead to heaven. Some will take you to hell. And the restriction is indicated by the words, "who believe." Salvation is not the possession of any unbeliever or someone who believes in a false God. Each person must make it his own by an act of personal faith in Jesus Christ. However, it's not man's faith that gives gospel the power. The Apostle Paul makes it clear that it is the power of salvation that makes it possible for the sinner to believe on Jesus Christ. It is the power of God that is at work in the saving gospel. The power of God into salvation is applied through faith. It is to everyone that believes. And this is the foundation principle in Paul's life. The just shall live by faith. It is the person who is righteous by faith that will live. The only kind of righteousness God offers to the sinner is his own righteousness. And when the sinner accepts God's righteousness, he is assured that God will stand behind it for all eternity. And therefore the sinner will stand in the right relationship with God forever. The sinner's guilt has been taken away for all eternity because of the work of Christ on the cross. But the saved sinner also is clothed with the positive righteousness of Jesus Christ. And this is his new standing with God. It is an eternal relationship with God in grace. And the work of Christ saves and keeps the sinner saved for all eternity. However, we must keep clearly in mind that the same righteousness of God that saves the believing sinner also condemns the unbelieving sinner for all eternity who rejects God's grace and mercy. The source of our righteousness is the grace of God, and the means is by faith in Jesus Christ. Salvation is only to those who believe on Christ. The gospel is the power of God because it leads us to Jesus Christ. The plan of God is there is salvation and no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that's been given among men by which we must be saved in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. John chapter 14, verse 6. The reason for such a plan is very simple. Jesus Christ is the only person who has ever qualified to die as a substitute in the place of another. If you and I die for sins, we would only be paying the price for our own sinfulness. It would be impossible for us to die in the place of another to pay for their sin debt. We do not have the righteousness to ransom anyone, including ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says that He, God, made Him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin to be sin, a sin offering on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. He was the only person qualified to die in our place and to pay to redeem you and me. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, for it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith, the just shall live by faith. There's only one way a sinful person can ever stand just before a righteous God. Paul uses the figure of judgment bar of God. Justification is a forensic term. It's employed always in a legal sense. A prisoner is brought to the court of justice to be tried. In God's supreme court, we are all tried and found guilty, and no other appeal can be made. In human courts, the king or queen, the president, can grant a pardon, but they cannot justify the guilty sinner. We can be pardoned, but not even royalty of the highest legal authority can wash away our character and make us clean. The criminal is just as much criminal when he is pardoned as he was before. The only way we can have a right relationship with God is by simple faith in Jesus Christ. What is your relationship with Jesus Christ? Not the labors of my hands can fulfill the law's demands? Could my zeal no longer know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, thou alone. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved today. May the Lord's richest blessings be yours.